Welcome back to On Screens Podcast. That was fast. This is Jose.
Carlo.
And we're back with another episode after our last horror draft. This time, well, first of all, besides that, how are you?
I'm okay. That's tired.
It's good. That's our Thanksgiving episode, and we're a little, we're a day late, but that's fine.
Yeah.
That's fine.
It's okay.
I'm still very lethargic from all the food I ate.
Same here.
But beyond that, today we're going to talk about, in the spirit of the month, of the week, things we're thankful for. Last year we did thankful movies. Yeah. Movies we're thankful for. I completely forgot what they were, so I guess I'm not that thankful for them. But this year we're going to do something similar. Three endings we're thankful for in TV or film. So anything that we value for some reason in our hearts, in our minds, in
yep.
our crotch. Have you seen anything before we get started on that?
You
saw Swiss Army Man.
I saw Swiss Army Man. I saw Everybody Wants Him.
Everybody Wants Him.
Yeah. Moana. Yeah, I've just been...
You forgot about your
baby darling. Been red-boxing it like a motherfucker.
Your baby darling.
My Sing Street?
There you go.
Yeah.
You're on your Sing Street.
Hell yeah. I'm not. Yeah. I'm going to keep bugging you till you watch it. Because I know
it.
You'll love it. I know you will love it.
I'll watch it. I recently watched... I went to the Guillermo del Toro exhibit in LACMA.
Oh, okay.
And I came home and watched Pan's Labyrinth. And which I hadn't seen. I know. I'm sorry. I hadn't seen. I liked it a lot. Love Pan's Labyrinth. The exhibit was awesome. Have you been? Have you gone? Well, today's the last day. Or tomorrow's the last day.
Well.
I should think it's Sunday, so yeah, it's over.
Oh, okay.
I'm sure there's going to be long-ass lines.
Pan's Labyrinth is good, though.
Not on the screens, but I saw Hamilton in Chicago, and that was amazing.
How was that?
That was amazing. It was amazing. I don't know. It gave me tingles.
Who's the new guy? What's his name that took over for Manuel?
Well, Miranda. The Chicago has a guy who used to do, I think, American Idiot.
Okay.
So he's definitely...
Which one did Pence go to? The Chicago one or
he went to the
New York?
He went to the New York one, I believe.
Okay.
Yeah. He went to the main one in New York. The Chicago one was awesome, though. It was a packed house. Not a lot of diversity in the house, but really? A packed house. But it was really awesome. I loved it. It was great.
Did they only expand after Miranda left? Because when Miranda was it just in New York?
They announced Chicago when he was still on the cast.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So he's working in Chicago. And then I think they're working on London now. And that's apart from the touring company.
That guy killed it with the Moana soundtrack.
I heard some of the Moana songs. They're really catchy and good. I loved it.
Yeah.
He's really good. He's the next big thing. Obviously, he's blown up already.
But yeah.
Hamilton Live was fucking, I don't know. It was like a religious experience seeing it
live.
That's
cool.
And I was like in the literally like second to last row.
Fuck it. As long as you're there. Fuck
and it was amazing. I have to urge everyone to listen to it. It's really good. I saw something else. I can't remember what the fuck else I saw. Black Friday, I ended up buying Star Trek Beyond because I've never seen it and I heard it was good. So we'll see that.
We'll see.
We'll see how that works out. And besides that, I don't have anything else that I've seen recently. Oh, Gilmore Girls. I just told you. I saw the Gilmore Girls reboot. The first episode.
How many episodes is it?
Four. Each one's an hour and a half.
So it's like There's four. Only four episodes?
Yeah.
Okay. It's an hour and a half.
It's winter, spring, fall, summer. So. Not in that order because that doesn't make sense. But yeah, it's only the four seasons. And I went to the Netflix had a Gilmore Girls thing last Saturday and Sunday at UCLA, and I went to that, and that was really cool. It was really awesome. You got free snacks.
Jeez.
You were, you know, like one of the few men there, like one man for like 30 women.
Nice.
But it was still fun. It was really cool. It rained on us, so it was authentic to the show, I guess, in some way.
Nice.
But yeah, that's what's been going on here. Did you like Moana more than the recent crop of Disney movies?
Way more than Frozen.
Really?
Yeah. I would. I don't know. I mean, animated, yeah. Like, that one's far and away. That should win Best Picture. Best Animated Picture.
Okay. Yeah. That's I want to watch it now because I had Kubo penciled in as Best Animated Picture.
Yeah,
here,
this
so
one.
I want to see Moana.
I mean, I don't know if you can count. You can't count Pete's Dragon as animated. It's like live action. Animated.
I don't think that live, would count as animated.
I mean,
it's a mix of both.
Yeah, that's why it's like. But Moana would probably get it, and then yeah, because it's way better than Finding Dory.
Finding Dory is
decent, but it's not a standout.
I think Finding Dory is a great animated movie. I think personally, it's fine.
Yeah.
Is it gonna stand out in the in the Pixar top fives, top tens? No. I don't think it would. But it's a fine movie. But I agree with that. Finding Dory might be a little bit overhyped on my end.
I haven't seen Kubo.
Kubo, to me, is one of the best animated movies I've seen.
I still need to see that,
in
then.
In years. But so good.
Yeah, Moana just blew me away.
Did your screening have that dark-ass Cars 3 trailer in it?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. What the hell is that all about?
Like, I don't know.
What's
I think
going
he might
on?
Die.
It's like the fucking True Detective version of Cars now.
It's True Detective season 3.
You see a car with
Mater
its...
and a...
Yeah. You see a car in a ditch with its engine ripped out in the beginning. Yeah.
And it becomes a detective story with two cars.
Yeah, it's like a cult of old Volkswagens or some
the
shit.
Of, the cult of the carburetor.
It's just... Yeah, I mean... What? It said, like, what does it say? Forget what you know?
I think it says, from this moment, everything changes.
Yeah.
And it's really dark. Like, it's...
I respect that, but it's just like, man, I couldn't stand Cars. I can't do it. Like,
Cars 2, to me, is probably the darkest spot in Pixar history. Cars 2 is terrible to me.
Yeah,
I knew what they wanted to get to in Cars 2, but it just didn't work for me. So I hope this one is... It's good.
And then they switched Toy Story and
they moved Toy
Incredibles.
Story. Yeah.
They swapped dates.
I believe they did. Yeah. And so that's a bummer because I heard it was, from what I read online, it was to develop the story further. So
okay.
I hope, you know, hopefully not too bad. But
yeah.
But yeah. So yeah. So I need to watch Moana. I need to watch Sing Street.
what else?
Yeah. All right. So we're going to do three endings that we're thankful for this month. And, you say you have no. Well, you know, I'll save my honorable mentions just in case one of these falls into yours. All right. So, how do you want to do this?
You can start.
I hate you. Okay. So I have more than three. So I have to weed out here. Okay. So I'm gonna say the first one that I'm really really thankful for is going to be a movie that I saw in class that I needed a permission slip for. You probably know what it is already. I saw it in seventh grade, and it was Schindler's List.
Mm.
And I'd never seen a serious movie up to that point. In seventh grade, you're what? You're like 12 years old? 12, 13? And we're obviously doing World War II stuff. So we talked about like the Holocaust, and I think we came up, we watched Schindler's List in class on VHS, like the two tape version. They had like swap tapes on the middle.
Yeah.
And we got the permission slip to watch it, and I was enthralled the whole damn time. Up to that point, I was watching RoboCop, I was watching, you know, Star Wars, and I was watching Indiana Jones, things like that. I wasn't watching anything serious. I was watching Transformers and Ninja Turtles and fucking DuckTales. I didn't give a shit about serious movies. And when we saw it, first of all, it was all black and white, which some kids complained. I was like, shut up. I want to watch this movie.
Yeah.
And I loved it. I loved every minute of it, you know, at that age. And that was the first time I cried at the end of a movie. And it's the end where Schindler, like, falls apart and regrets all the things, how much more he could have done. And at that, but that's the first time I felt legitimately sad watching something. And I think I was so enthralled by it that I wanted to watch it again, even though it made me so sad. I don't think I saw the movie again for maybe like another 5 years, maybe.
Okay.
And then, when I saw it again, it had the same impact. The impact did not lessen over time.
Damn.
And I love that movie. That's not the end. When he breaks down, that's not really the end of the movie. It's when you go to present time and you see the people leaving stones on his grave. But that ending where he just breaks down, it was very moving to me, and it made me appreciate movies in a different way than just popcorn.
Yeah,
and to this day, it's probably one of my favorite movies. It's such a good movie. I don't know why it's not. I mean, it's very well regarded.
Yeah,
but I think it's really one of the best movies of our generation. At least that generation.
Yeah,
and Spielberg gets a lot of praise for Jaws and Jurassic Park and Indiana Jones and Close Encounters, but Schindler's List is maybe my favorite. Movie that's not like a blockbuster movie of his.
Yeah.
I want everyone to watch Schindler's List, but that ending still gets to me. So like, and whenever like I think about it, just like it makes me feel sad still. But
yeah.
I appreciate it much more than just being sad now. And What, like, I'm terrible with actors' names and people. And it wasn't 2 years later I was like, hey, that's Liam Neeson in that movie. It wouldn't take me for a long time that Liam Neeson and Voldemort are in it too. And there's a bunch of people there who are great actors. And I love that ending of Schindler's List. Again, not the ending, but like that scene at the end with him breaking down in front of like all the people he was helping. And it always pops back into my head when I watch The Simpsons, when Mr. Burns makes that joke of, we both made shelves for the Nazis, but mine's work, damn it.
Oh, yeah. I remember that one. So, oh, my God.
So when you're a Simpsons gag during their golden years, you know you had a good impact. I love that joke. Schindler's List is my number three in my top three thankful endings.
Damn. Yeah, that's pretty good. Okay, my number three. Since we're going to go on things we watched in class and kind of just, it kind of left like a little impact on you, or just it's a movie that made you just, you still remember it and where you were when you saw it and how it's just it's like stuck in your head.
There's only like three movies I remember watching in class. Let's see if it's one of the three that I remember.
Yeah. So mine is, when did I watch it? I want to say maybe middle school, or I want to say, no, not high school, but yeah, I think probably middle school. It was Dead Poets Society.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that one.
And that movie, it's one of those movies where every time it's on cable, I just end up watching it, mm-hmm. and I end up watching it in its entirety because it's so good.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, it's a film that like I really appreciate, and I love the ending because it just seemed like, I don't know, it was such a dark turn. You've seen the movie, of course, yeah. right? Where the kid, of course, kills himself. It's such a dark turn, and I hated the fact that I thought it was going to end on that, mm-hmm. and Keating getting fired, and just all the blame being on him, and him being the bad guy, and it wasn't good for me when that was going on. Like, I really felt bad when I was watching the movie, because it's like, you see this guy that enriches these students' lives. They're in a boarding school that's just boring and by the books, and just, you know, they're trying to make it lively, and just he's trying to make the classroom more lively and just not some like same old bullshit like all the other classes. And you see these kids start being influenced by him, and they start becoming more open and more like you said, free thinkers. And then that happened with the suicide. And like when it was ending and he was leaving his classroom, the minute Ethan Hawke, a young Ethan Hawke, sat on the desk and he said, "Oh, Captain, my Captain," and then all the other students around him started doing the same thing. It's like my eyes kind of brightened up, and I was like, "Okay, this right here validates like everything he's done." Mm-hmm. Just because that right there shows like, you know what, he made a difference. He had this lasting impact on these kids, and it was like a send-off, like a proper send-off to him. And I always love that part about the film. I love the film in its entirety, but just I remember that specific moment when I thought the film was, when it was in its dark moments, and I thought it was going to stay there. And it was really going to bum me out. But then the minute that those students stood up on their desks and said, "Oh, Captain, my Captain," he was looking out, and it was like a great, great scene. And I always remember that scene. And I don't know, it's a film that just still resonates with me to this day, because I always try to, like, when I'm in school, there's going to be, I still get those professors that are just, like, different from the other ones. The other ones are always by the books, and you have to do everything by the syllabus, and due dates, and formats, and lectures, and all that stuff. And once in a while, you'll get a teacher that's just, you know, fuck all that. Like, mm-hmm. he'll do things his own way, and he'll leave more of an impact or an influence on you than you'll ever think. Like my eighth grade teacher, still my favorite teacher I've ever had, mm-hmm. because he was just like Keating. Like he talked to us like we're his friends, like we're like both like in it together, you know what I mean? Like he wasn't an authoritarian. And I always thought like, man, it was a year after I watched the film where I had this teacher. Mm-hmm. And I was like, dude, this is like a Keating to me. And like every year since then, like in school and in high school and college, there's always been a teacher that's just been like, all right, you're more of a Keating type guy. You know, you're not by the books. You're laid back. You're still very influential. You'll still get your message across, but you're not going to, you know, demean us. You're not going to look down on us and try to, you know, rule with an iron fist in the classroom. And that's what always, like, struck with me with that movie. It's just that it left a long-lasting impact. And I love the ending. I love that ending so much.
Yeah, I remember that watching that. I think I watched it in class, too, maybe. And I really, really enjoyed that movie. And I think I remember the ending specifically because I even remember, like, the way it's shot. It's really, really nice the way it's shot at the end. I think the camera's kind of... It's even like I think, if I remember correctly, I haven't seen it in years, but I think the camera is even at this weird angle for a moment where it's not even at the student's eye level or at Robin Williams. It's almost like right in the middle.
Yeah.
And all you see are the student's legs for a second. And it's like, I don't know why that angle always stuck with me. That was such a beautiful shot. That's a good one. Dead Poets Society. That is a good one that I forgot about. All right, but let's see here. So, yeah, so far right now it's kind of a bummer list. But my second one is, this is a hard one because there's a lot of contenders, but I definitely have to go to when I was watching popcorn movies that I loved that made me appreciate the sequel. And that was, and people hate the movie sometimes. They think it's dumb. I don't, I like it for what it is. It's a very fun movie. I think it's still far better than most other things that have been put out through time. But Back to the Future 2.
Oh, okay.
The ending when you think everything is completed, when you think everything has been solved, and Doc sends a DeLorean out. Doc from part one sends a DeLorean out with part one Marty, and then Back to the Future 2 Marty comes running around the corner and tells him he has to, like, he's back from the future. And, like, you realize that this cycle isn't over yet. Like they haven't solved anything. And then it cuts to that, to the Back to the Future 3 trailer, which is already being filmed at that point, or almost finished. And then I was probably, like, maybe 10 years. No, probably younger than that. Probably 8 years old when I saw that movie. And it was the first time where I was actually excited for a sequel, for something else to come. Mm-hmm. Because Back to the Future 1 and 2 already existed, but they were already out on home video when I saw them. But Back to the Future 3, when I saw the trailer attached to the VHS, I was like, oh my God, there's something else coming. And I was so excited to watch the next one. And it was a Western. I love Westerns. And it was just this really great moment in me growing up when I realized that there is always more to look forward to in stories that you like.
Yeah.
Like, technically, a story, like, if you think it's over, it might not be over. And Back to the Future 2, as much as I loved it, I was so happy that it wasn't over. There was more coming. And when when Marty runs around the corner and just goes to shake Doc, and Doc passes out, and you realize that there's just so much more left to this story. And as a kid, I was so excited. I was so stoked. And for the longest time, I think I considered Back to the Future my favorite movies, because I really, really genuinely love those movies. And they definitely inspired my love of cinema. But that ending, Back to the Future 2, is probably the first time that I remembering an ending having such an impact on me for the first time.
Yeah.
And I, to this day, like, I when I watch that ending, it's just, I want to pop number 3 right away, because I want just to continue watching it immediately. Even though 3 is not the best one, it's obviously the weakest one of the 3. But whenever I watch it on DVD now, or even if it's on TV, like, I almost feel inclined that I need to watch 3 now, because 3 has to happen. I'm one of those kids who probably prefers part 2 over part 1. As I get older, part 1's obviously a better movie. It's better constructed. It's better everything. But part 2 just had this really awesome sense of wonder and the futuristic tone. When you're, like, 10 years old, like, it's... You feel like it's gonna happen, yeah. And the way it has, we have fucking Air Mags now that you can buy, you know, for charity.
True.
So, that's Back to the Future 2 is definitely one of those movies that shaped why I enjoyed cinema.
Yeah.
Growing up, I was always a fan of kind of unexpected things. I was never a fan of slapstick growing up, and it's weird because if you're I'm gonna get a little racist here. If you're Mexican, for some reason, Mexican entertainment has a lot of slapstick humor in it. I was never a fan of slapstick, which I'm sure some people are like, will dismiss any opinion I have because of that. But like, I was never a fan of slapstick growing up, and a lot of Mexican TV had a lot of it in it. So I never found it funny or charming or anything like that. And when I saw these movies, this is what I knew I liked. I feel like I wasn't forced to like it. I just knew this is what I liked. So Back to the Future definitely helped mold what I enjoyed watching more. And I would seek out more things like that because that's what I knew what I enjoyed. But it was always kind of weird talking with kids who hadn't seen those movies because they didn't watch that kind of movie.
Yeah.
So growing up, it was hard to find that connect. So when I got older and I saw people who enjoyed them, when I found them, it was great to talk about them. And I feel like I feel that now with, if you notice, this is a big resurgence in the last 5 years maybe of Simpsons fans. And you're like, where the fuck were all these people when I was growing up?
Because
I love The Simpsons and I want to talk with everyone about it. And you're some of the few people who know how much I love The Simpsons. But now it's literally everywhere. Everyone loves The Simpsons now. And I'm like, where the hell were you 5 years ago when I wanted people to talk about The Simpsons with? So Back to the Future definitely helped. It was also part of that thing for me where I eventually found people who enjoyed it as much as I did.
Yeah.
And that ending, I think, resonates with a lot of people. And to me, it definitely shaped how I enjoyed movies growing up. Back to the Future 2. Yep. I'll say I enjoy it more than one, even though one's better.
Damn. Mm-hmm. 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 That's a good one. Yeah. Let's see. Which one am I going to focus on next? Okay, this one came out mid-90s, and it's still a favorite of mine. I love the film, and just the ending. Again, it didn't go the way I thought it would, being how the whole movie was playing out, but I'm glad it did, because it was like a sign of respect in the film, and it was just something like, it was refreshing to see, because it was different.
Rounders.
No. Okay. I refrain from putting Rounders on this list, but it's Heat.
Oh, I love Heat.
Heat. I love the ending. And I love the ending because it's something that I wouldn't imagine happening. You know, when De Niro's dying and he's holding his hand and he's just, you know, just, it's one of those things where I love films where there's basically like two guys at like the top of their game. Mm-hmm. And it's like a cat and mouse game, and you're waiting for them to run into each other. And it's like American Gangsters like that, where you have a criminal and a cop that are both like, you know, the best at their positions, the best at what they do. And instead of it being like a, you know, oh, I'm going to kill this cop, oh, I'm going to kill this criminal, all like, you know, just super like hyper masculine, like badass, like there are scenes and there are moments where it's like a mutual respect for each other's work. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So it's just like that coffee shop scene in Heat is just so memorable and so like it's such an entertaining part of the film. Like it's just so, I don't know. It just, it's a part of the film that like resonates with you more than the shootout and more than other parts. But it's just part, the diner scene, it's just, it's not only in the movie itself, but just like two legends of cinema right there. And they're just acknowledging each other and just giving each other respect, even though they know what could happen at the end and what the situations that are going to come, what it might lead them to. And I loved the ending because you see these guys at the end of it, you know, he's dying and he holds his hand for some reason, and you wouldn't think Al Pacino, the crackpot that he is in that whole film, you know, he would do something like that. But it's just one of those things where it's like, this is a master criminal and then a master, you know, detective.
Yeah.
And even though they're at opposite ends of the spectrum, there's still this respect among like these two enemies, because they know something's going to happen. One of them has to go down. And this game, this chess game that they've been playing the whole time, it leads up to this, and it's just I really think it's just a great moment, because it doesn't, you know, it's not one of those things where he's laying bloody on the floor and Pacino says something witty or something loud like he usually does and shoots him in the head and walks away. Boom, I got the bad guy, here I am, I'm a badass. You know, he's holding his hand, you know, by the airport, and he's, you know, bleeding out. And it's just one of those moments where it's like, shit, man, like you go throughout this whole film and you see what these guys are doing, and you see how these guys are like positioning themselves to get away with the the bank, like the biggest bank robbery you could ever imagine on film, and then one guy, just his sole purpose is to catch him, you know, and make sure he doesn't get away. And for it to end that way, I have a tremendous amount of respect for Michael Mann and just the way that film was just crafted from beginning to end, and especially the end, because it could have gone just like a 90s action thriller, yeah, where it just, yeah, would have been cheesy and over the top and like super, you know, hyper masculine, but yeah, it slowed things down, and it made me appreciate the film.
Yeah, I love Heat. It's one of my favorite movies. It was had a bunch of hype because it came out after the or before the North Hollywood shootings. Remember that?
Yeah, yeah.
But I wanted to watch Heat when I knew that it was out. I didn't watch it later because obviously I was like a fucking kid. I was like 10 years mm-hmm. old. But I love Heat. It's one of my favorite movies. And it's funny you talk about like Michael Mann, like not going for the obvious moment and instead going for something better. That's how Collateral ends too.
Yeah.
With Tom Cruise and like the Metro Link.
Yeah.
It's just like a very quiet end. It's nothing crazy. And I love that ending too in Collateral.
Oh man, Collateral's so good.
Yeah. Did he also do Spartan with Val Kilmer? Is that a Michael Mann movie?
Which one?
Spartan.
I don't remember.
I thought he did. Anyway, I like Spartan too. But yeah, I love Heat. It's one of my favorite movies to watch every few years. Yeah, the shootout scene gets all the hype and all the praise, but the whole movie in general is just it's so damn good, so yeah, damn good. And what's the thing De Niro says something? God, I forgot. I used to remember so much. The line about like walking away and not like
walking away, not being attached to anything. Or yeah, he says something like that. Like, you have to make sure when you do it, you walk away. And you're not.
Yeah,
yeah, he says something
like, don't be attached to anything. Just walk around the corner and walk away.
Yeah, and that's like, when he was like, falling for that chick.
Yes, and I was like, oh my god, what a badass, and like also what an asshole.
Yeah.
And I think he does walk away at some point in the movie. I think he just turns around and walks the other mm-hmm. direction at some point. Heat's a damn good choice. I love Heat. I love Heat. All right. So that's a good number two. Nothing happy in this fucking list.
No, of course not. Happy endings are so like just you can't really be thankful for them because they're just so cheesy.
So happy. All right, number one. All right. So my number one is, I mentioned before, I think it's the one movie that's still, it will still make me cry if I watch it. I'm not crying now, just yawning. But it's the ending, and they made a sequel, and I was like, okay, cool. Like, you're not gonna get to that emotional point of the first one. The first one is so, hits that emotional note so hard that it's like, you like fucking like broke your bat on a pitch, and like you still hit a home run. That's how amazing it was to me. Was the ending to Monsters, Inc.
Oh, okay.
I we saw that together.
Yeah.
And I think I was like, don't cry in front of Carla. Don't cry in front of Carla right now. But we wanted to watch the stupid episode 2 trailer that yep. was attached to that. And that's why we went to go watch that movie. And I probably, in my top 3 Pixar movies of all time, my personal top 3, I think it's definitely top 5 Pixar, if not top 3 Pixar
yeah, yeah.
ever. And the world they crafted was so perfect. Like everything. My issue when someone crafts a world with a theme, I don't like it when it doesn't seem organic. I know some people hate that word. I don't like it when it seems fake or when it seems contrived. I really mm-hmm. hate that. And to me, that's the problem with movies like Hotel Transylvania, mm-hmm. where it's like, it's a world that's based in like horror movies or like creatures, and everything is so contrived that it's just, it's not fun. Everything is stupid in that movie because they're trying so hard to make it into the theme of Hotel Transylvania. Yeah. It's like, okay, guys, I get it. You all eat fucking like worms. Like, it doesn't. There's something missing to it. It doesn't seem genuine. Where in Monsters, Inc., it's a functioning society.
Yeah.
And they're monsters. And they know they're monsters, but it's not. In a weird way, it doesn't dictate how they live their life. It's just in that world, they want to smell like wet dog. So they have wet dog cologne, you know?
Yeah.
That's what they like. It's not, I have to smell like wet dog because I'm a monster. It's like, that's what we like.
Yeah.
And like, it's just, it doesn't seem as contrived as something else, another world that's made with a theme. And that's why I love Monsters, Inc. Well, it could have gone that way. It could have mm-hmm. been stupid and like silly. And I don't think it's really that silly. I think it's just a world that works because these monsters live in this world and it's their society. Anyway, the fact that they have to get their energy from screams, I was like, that's fucking genius. That is so genius. And we know the plot of Boo comes over and wreaks havoc. Everyone thinks she's fucking, like, diseased.
Yeah.
And she's the child, you know? And I'm sure there's, like, some metaphor there for, like, foreigners.
Yeah.
But it's I loved it. And obviously the character Sully, like, you know, they really, you know, love taking care of Boo, and Boo becomes like a little daughter to him. And then the end, wherein to rescue her, they have to like close a portal and break the portal. And it's like, you're sad that they're never going to see each other again. And then you realize they were trying to make it happen this whole time behind his back. And like when he sees her for the, again, it's like, I'm going to cry right now.
Yeah.
It's like, it's so damn good. When he opens the door and you hear like Kitty, it's like, oh,
yeah,
gets me every time. It's so damn good.
And then when he has the last piece,
yes, he's holding the last fucking piece on his clipboard.
Like, damn, okay.
I was like, oh, it's so damn good. So when I made the sequel, I was like, okay, we're gonna leave that behind. So it wasn't gonna be as good. But Monsters Inc., the only thing that comes close to that is the Toy Story 3 scene with the fucking the furnace. But that ending to me is still, if not the best emotional ending I've seen in a cartoon, the best Disney ending, at least.
Yeah.
There's nothing to me that's been better than that. I really hate it when, I think it's cool if people do it, but I really hate it when people start thinking like the Pixar universe is connected and they have these crazy theories of like so-and-so is so-and-so-and-so.
Yeah.
And I read some dumb theory that Boo is actually the witch in Brave, which I've never seen Brave, but I'm just like, oh, that kind of fucking ruins the ending of Monsters, Inc. for me.
Yeah.
And I hate that shit because it lessens the impact that it has for me watching Monsters, Inc. I hate them. They're stupid. They're dumb. Because what could be a simple Easter egg is now seen as canon, and it's not.
Yeah.
It's an Easter egg. It's just a fun, something fun. Like, it puts pressure on creators to be careful because something can be seen as canon. And it's a bummer because I like Easter eggs. I wish there were more Easter eggs and things.
Yeah.
But I don't want it to become a part of the world just because it's in there. But Monsters, Inc., without a doubt, is still my favorite ending ever. I was trying to find, because I really like downer endings. Like, I love a sad-ass ending. Like, the Dead Poets Society ending. That's fucking perfect. It's like bittersweet. But I still come back to this one being my favorite ending, even though it's a happy ending. I love sad endings so much more. I don't know why. I love misery.
Yeah.
But this one always makes me happy and sad. But to me, there's nothing that has come close to me emotionally to that ending in Monsters, Inc. And it kept off what was probably one of the best movies of those years. I don't think anything has come close to that quality in a long time. So yeah, Monsters, Inc.
Yeah, that's a good one.
That's a good one. I always fucking tear up talking, just thinking about like, fuck, the kitty at the end just gets me so much.
Yeah.
And it's, I want to know what happened after that, but at the same time, I don't.
Yeah.
That's fine. Just end it there. Like, so I hope they never go back in the forward from that moment, because I really don't want to see what happens after. I just want to keep that moment special.
Keep that moment, yeah. Damn, that's a good one.
That's a good one.
Okay, so
what's the other one that gets me? We talked about this. The other one, I think, is
the other Lotto, Pixar?
Lotto's backstory is really fucking sad.
Yeah.
That's not an ending, but that's all Pixar. Yeah. Remember, they're like, fuck, Pixar. Like, stop.
That was our villain one, remember? That was our villain one, yeah. My choice for villain, for animated.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this last one is probably the newer one than the other two I mentioned. Because I went, what, eight? Like, Dead Poets Society, it was like eight, late 80s, 89. Early 90s, 90?
What, I thought, 89, it was like early 90s.
I think it was 90. 89, 90.
89?
I want to guess 90.
Dead Poets Society is 89?
89 or 90, and then Heat was 95. So this one is way, 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 way more recent. And it's a movie that came out last year. It was probably tied for my favorite movie last year, along with Force Awakens. It's Creed.
Okay.
And that movie just, one thing, the stuff that, you haven't seen it yet, right?
I almost bought it last night. I should probably go buy it today. Yeah. It's only $9. Yeah. I should probably go.
It's, the ending is just, I don't know, to me, it has like two different meanings. One, it's kind of like bookmarking a career and maybe something more, but I don't want to talk about it that much since you haven't seen it. But then also, it seems like it's a passing of the torch, and that's what I love about the movie the most, because it's just, you see this young kid, Creed, and he's all of a sudden becomes this symbol of like hope and the underdog. And I think that now more than ever, we kind of need that, you know? And at that time, I just felt like the way the movie was going, how Rocky was grooming him and training him, and the situations that happened in the film. Towards the end, when the fight ended and they go back to Philadelphia and the final scene happens, it is a passing of the torch. It's just like, you know, it's Rocky telling Creed, you know, looking out, and he's just, it's him sending a message like, you know, my time here as a fighter, it's over. You know, it's time for you to, you know, take the mantle of, like, you know, the underdog fighter, the man like who carries Philly, and maybe not only just Philly, but like America on its back. Because he is like kind of like, you know, Rocky was a symbol of patriotism.
Yeah.
Back in the day. And then, you know, Creed to me was the same thing. But they lean more on like his family angle more than anything in the first movie. And they said that a Creed 2 is going to happen. But when it does happen, I really hope that they start aiming it more towards what Rocky was, and was like a symbol of like America, symbol of patriotism, and a symbol of also like the underdog. Because, you know, in Creed, he is the underdog, and he kind of relies on that as like fuel and energy. And he doesn't want to be known as Creed in the beginning, because, you know, there's so much entitlement and so much like high stature when it comes to the Creed name. And I love that about him. But then he kind of realizes who he really is, and it's nothing to be ashamed of. And towards the end, it just seemed like it was just a passing of the torch, just Rocky just handing it to Creed. And I sincerely hope that they make a part two, a part three, you know, maybe a part four and five if the quality is still there. Because the ending of Creed was just like, it hit me like a ton of bricks. It was sad. It was emotional. It was uplifting, and it made me hopeful for this new, you know, sports figure in cinema to create more movies in the future, and just to be this symbol that Rocky once was for a new crop of, you know, filmgoers. And that's what I love about Creed.
That's awesome. I want to watch Creed now. I'm gonna go fucking buy it right now.
It's so
good. I had
it
in my cart and I put it back because I thought I bought too much shit. I'm gonna go buy it again now. It's $9 at Target. That's nothing. I'll go get it. That's interesting, yeah, because Rocky was pretty much like the 80s definition of like you know, athletic, you know, excellence. That'd be awesome if Creed. What's his name? Adonis?
Adonis Creed.
If he becomes that new symbol, that'd be perfect. And I love Michael B. Jordan. And the quality, that's the thing, like, you know, with like him obviously being a star now, Ryan Coogler being a fucking blockbuster director, it's like,
I think I don't know if he's gonna make two though. I don't know if he's gonna be director two, because two was slated to come out I think in 18,
but he's got
Black Panther, so there's no way. Maybe, I don't know,
if, as long as he has his finger in there, he can help with something out, that'd be great. There's no coincidence. It's a movie about black identity, is directed by a black director, and it's that good. I feel like that's the whole reason why it works well, because it's a straight vision all the way through, from the actor to the director.
Yeah,
it's like, did Ryan write it also?
Yeah, he wrote
it's like
it.
it's so the vision is so, you know,
and the soundtrack, oh my god, it's so good. There's one scene where it's, I think it's reminiscent of Rocky 2 when he's jogging.
Oh, really?
And it's direct, like,
it's like the montage, like
yeah. Oh, and it's his own little, just like you know, refresher, his own version of it. And I kind of had to read about it after, because like I didn't get the whole thing. I knew about, I've seen Rocky 2 and I've seen that scene, and I was like, oh, it's like an homage to Rocky 2. But then like how he embedded that Philadelphia culture at this time, yeah, like what's in and stuff like that. It kind of just, it made it even more special. And that scene and the ending scene are just like, I get choked up watching that scene more than the ending. I still get choked up with the ending. There's like 3 or 4 scenes I choked up that I got choked up on. But that scene where he's jogging and he's training, that scene is epic. Epic.
Oh, I can't wait to watch it now. I have a long weekend off. I'm going to watch so many fucking movies this weekend.
That's right, damn it.
Oh, that's a good one. Creed. I really need to watch Creed. I really, really want to. Oh, damn it. I'm going to go buy it now after this. Yeah, so that's good. So you went, I went with Schindler's List, Back to the Future 2, Monsters, Inc. You went with, what was the first
one? Dead Poets Society, Heat, and Creed.
Dead Poets Society, Heat, and Creed. Damn.
You have honorable mentions? I'll have 2 now. They popped up in my head.
I have a few. A very recent one, we talked about this, Guardians of the Galaxy. To me, it's a really good ending. Oh, God,
yes. Yeah.
That ending is just, oh, God damn it. God damn it, good ending. Also gets to me. That one, like, just, like, puts new meaning on music. When you hear that, then you see this scene in your head all the time, and it's perfect to me. Reservoir Dogs, I think I love that scene. It just ends, nobody wins. Everyone just fucking dies. Everyone. And I love that scene. It was just, you hear the door open, you hear, like, put the gun down, and you hear shots, and it cuts to black. I picked that one because that one kind of, every movie here has somehow helped me appreciate cinema. And I think that ending to Reservoir Dogs really opened my eyes to cinema that's not cookie cutter ending.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a really bummer ending.
Yeah.
And like nobody wins. Like nobody's good in that movie almost. At the time you call it very like indie. Very indie movie. So it was definitely something new that I hadn't seen before, and I was like, holy shit, I want more of this.
Yeah.
And then the other one, another Marvel movie, the ending of Iron Man, because I just think that kicked off the whole universe, but also the end where it's like up to this point where like the superhero, they live a double life, and he's like, fuck it, I am Iron Man.
Yeah.
And it ends, you're like, holy shit. Like,
I love that.
That changes bravado. Everything for the sequel. The sequel now takes on a new tone because everyone knows he's Iron Man.
That sequel was terrible.
That sequel was terrible. But you know, okay, I was watching that in a hotel room last week.
Iron Man 2?
Yes.
Oh,
it was,
man.
Like, it was like on FX or something.
Yeah.
And when that movie sucks, it can really suck. But when Sam Rockwell is in it, fuck, I love Sam Rockwell. Yeah. That's Justin Hammer in that movie. He is so damn good. I want him to come back for more movies, but that movie has some serious flaws in it.
I like Rourke too. Like, he has some moments, but I can't really pinpoint like specifically why the movie doesn't work. Like, I don't know, maybe I'm just too stupid enough to like say it in words, but it just doesn't work for me. Like, I watch it, I'm like it falls flat. Like, I can't really pinpoint the exact moment where it lost me.
It's when I was watching it, I realized there's a lot of things that after that movie don't stay the same. Black Widow feels like such a different character in 2 than from going forward. After that. She feels so different, like almost like a completely different person to the Black Widow that we know now. I think Rourke was a little too Jack Sparrow for me. I feel like he should have, like, he was just a little bit too much on that Johnny Depp boat.
Mm-hmm.
And where just like he was really trying to make this character a little bit too different. And he could have scaled it back a little bit more. There were scenes where it's just like they're arguing about 5 minutes about his fucking bird. And it's just like, we don't need this about his bird, guys. Yeah. It just, something about it just, it wasn't the best. It's probably one of the lower ranked movies, if not the lowest one that I can think of. But yeah, it's not as good, obviously. But I love Sam Rockwell in the movie. He is so damn good.
Yeah.
I want to see more of him, hopefully. As far as we know, there's the Marvel one-shot shorts. He's still alive.
Oh, wow.
So he's still out there in the Marvel universe. So if he comes back, that'd be great because I loved him in it. Those are all my honorable mentions that I thought of. Just those. So which one did you have?
25th Hour.
Okay.
The ending where, like, he's taking him in jail, but he's, like, talking about a scenario. What if he lived in Texas, moved, like, ran away?
Like, what if, yeah,
did his thing?
Yeah,
and just the whole ending. Like the ending where
the what if
years later he brings in Naturelle and they tell their family when they're all like old and their kids and their grandkids about this life that he had in New York.
Oh,
it's like it all could have been. It all could have happened. It all could have just. And it was just, oh my God. Like, that was just.
The what if moment. Yeah, fucking.
It was. It hit me. And then, like, you know, you just see him at the end, just like on the bridge, still going to jail. And it's just like that face and just. I don't know. This whole scenario is just, God, man. It's so like. It is ultimate, like, what if. Like,
it's. Yo, yeah, that what if just fucking gets you. And that whole movie, I feel like that whole movie, you're always like, you're thinking, just fucking. Go away, like just. I feel like that, when I remember watching and thinking, just fucking, just walk away.
Yeah,
just walk away, like, and he doesn't.
And he even says it in the movie himself. Like when they were at the nightclub, he told Barry Pepper, he's like, I was gonna come to you, I was gonna leave the game, and I was gonna come to you and give you money and say invest it in something and just walk away. I wasn't gonna do that, but no, like I stuck around just being in the drug dealing game. And he told him, and like, you know, he was all remorseful because. He was going to go to jail the next day. So he told him that, too. He's just like, I was going to go to you and walk away. And I don't know. That movie just...
That ending, yeah. Fuck, I forgot about that ending.
That movie. That one and then The Mist.
I know the ending of The Mist. I haven't seen it, though. But I know the ending of... Like, they roll up after...
Yeah.
And you're just like, fuck, that's all you got.
Yeah, that movie. God, dude. That scene just bums you out. It's just fucking just so... Ugh. It's so... heart-wrenching, that scene. So yeah, I probably those two, definitely just those two got to me.
Is The Mist a good movie as a whole?
I enjoyed it.
Okay.
I enjoyed it a lot. Okay. Like it.
I should watch it. Really, I know people really liked it when it came out.
I like it. It's so it's good.
I want to watch it now. I want to watch that one now. Yeah, damn. There's a lot. I forgot about 25th Hour. That's a fucking, I remember that ending now.
Yeah.
Fucking that what if ending. Fuck me. That got to me too.
I'm trying to think of an animated one that really just hit me. Maybe, I don't know about, like, Lion King, but then again, that's still, it's uplifting and cheery and hopeful and stuff, and I don't know.
I was talking with my girlfriend about moments, because we were talking about that Lightning McQueen teaser trailer for Cars 3, and how, like, we know kids, her nephew... is distraught just by the teaser trailer. He is like, fucking, he cannot handle seeing his hero hurt. Because that's just something you don't imagine in that movie.
Yeah.
And he looks legitimately fucked up in that teaser trailer. Like, he's essentially missing a leg because one of his, like, fucking tires is torn off.
Yeah.
And we're talking about how there's these moments where every generation has a moment in animation where, like, they have to... deal or acknowledge or be introduced to the concept of mortality. And she says she doesn't have it. And she probably didn't watch anything that had that effect on her. But I know before my generation, people lost their shit when Optimus Prime died in Transformers. Mm-hmm. They're like, that fucking movie, that moment crushed kids all around the fucking world. Like, Optimus Prime just fucking died. Like, he cannot die and he's dead. And then I think... for our generation, it was probably Mufasa dying.
Yeah, definitely.
You're just like, fuck, like Mufasa just died. Like,
when he's like trying to wake him up.
Yes, the whole the whole Krusty. That whole moment is just fucked up. Like, it really fucks with you and it makes you imagine like that scenario just happened.
Yeah.
And the fact that it's Simba, a child, like, it's even like you relate more to it. And we're like. I'm not sure if it'll be. I have no idea. But this could be a moment, and again, in the Disney universe, where you have to acknowledge mortality of like your heroes, or at least the concept that they are not infallible. And I'm kind of hoping Cars 3 explores that, because so far they have no track record of exploring anything close to that. But if this one can explore that idea of like your heroes no longer being the people who are top of their game, people you admire, like they're no longer the best.
Yeah.
That concept, I think that'd be really interesting if this generation has one. Because I can't think of one that this generation has where they have to acknowledge just mortality or just the concept of just no longer being able to do something. So I hope this is it. But I know we had Lion King, and that fucked up a bunch of kids, seeing Mufasa dead. And before that, there was Transformers Optimus Prime dying. I don't know what they're going to do with this one, but yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah, Lion King. I was watching Aladdin, too. Aladdin's so damn good.
Yeah.
Yeah, another good movie. Yeah. But anything else to add before we sign off here?
That's pretty much it.
Pretty much it. So Rogue One comes out. We're probably going to go watch it with our friends.
Yep.
And then I need to watch Sing Street. I need to watch Swiss Army Man. I need to watch
Creed. Bad Santa while you're at it.
Bad Santa. I haven't seen Bad Santa. Okay, I'll watch Bad Santa. I usually watch Elf every Christmas. What are your thoughts on Christmas music?
Music?
Yeah.
Oh. Not much. I try to avoid it as much as I can because, like, I'm being bombarded with everything else Christmas. Christmas movies are my thing. Like, I'll watch Christmas movies. I'll watch Elf. I'll watch Home Alone and Home Alone 2. I'll watch Holy Bad shit. Santa.
Home Alone.
I'll watch those films. Like, I have no problem watching those films.
Yeah.
But just Christmas music, I can't do it. I can't do it.
We listen to it a lot in our house. The girlfriend enjoys it much more than I do. I am okay with it. But I still can't get over how everyone is super cool with the fucking rape song. Oh, baby, it's cold outside. That's just straight up date rape.
That song?
I'm just like, listen, this is an assault, people. Can we stop this song? This is an assault.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, you need to take that up. I called it the what's that song that Pharrell did with what's his face?
Which one?
With the guy.
With the guy?
They got sued by the family of...
Robin Thicke?
Yeah. What's that song called?
Oh, Blurred Lines.
Blurred Lines.
Yeah, that song is really,
so I think Baby It's Cold Outside, it's a Blurred Lines of Christmas music.
Yeah, it definitely is. Holy
very,
shit.
Very predatory.
That's a dark Christmas right there.
It is. I mean, fuck. Like, he says, your lips look delicious. Like, dude, this guy's either going to murder you or he's going to fucking rape you. Let's stop. Someone call the cops.
Is Elf your favorite Christmas movie?
Good question. I don't know. I like it. I like it a lot. I like Elf because I like Will Ferrell. I like dumb Will Ferrell. The fact that you brought up Home Alone, I love Home Alone. Home Alone 1 is fucking classic.
Yeah.
So doesn't he have like a Michael Jordan cutout in front of like the window to like emulate like the people inside? Yeah. Remember that? I love Home Alone. I think it's an awesome movie. Elf is cool too. I like Elf.
God, I gotta quote the shit out of Home Alone. Like, me and my buddies, we always talk about, like, when is it Harry? No, Marv. Marv tries to go in and, like, kind of scope it out. Mm-hmm. And then the kid plays the movie on there. And then, like, the mobster in the movie is, like, talking to a guy named Snakes. And he puts the firecrackers and it sounds like gunshots. And he goes back in the van. He's like, it's a guy named Snakes. He's in there. And he's like, I think he got blown away. And like, Joe Pesci's like trying to remember if he knew anyone in the joint named Snakes. He's like, Snakes. I don't know no snakes. Like, it's just, it's little quotes like that. It's like, I love it.
That's an awesome movie. And then when you think of like Kevin would have murdered these kids, but he would have murdered the guys like by the second gag. Yeah. Like doesn't he dropped like the scolding? What is it? The super hot.
He basically
what's the liquid that he drops on them.
Oh God!
And as a kid, I always cringe when they get the fucking hot doorknob. I was just like, fuck
that one messes you up.
Skin ripping off,
like
a
blowtorch to his head.
Yeah, like these guys are dead. Yeah. These guys are so dead. And then when they slip on the ass, like, you broke your fucking neck going down those stairs, dude. You're
exactly.
dead.
Exactly. God, dude. Yeah, but Home Alone 2 is like a little house of horrors, dude.
Yeah.
He really wants to kill him right there. Like, he wants to hurt him and hopefully get arrested in part one. I think in part two,
he wants to see them die.
Yeah.
Fuck. That was such a... Everybody wanted to fucking talk boy after that.
Yeah.
God damn it. Yeah, I'm surprised there hasn't been a Home Alone resurgence in fandom because that's a fucking perfect movie.
Credit card, you got it. I remember that. Oh my God,
what a great movie!
I love those films.
See, now I love that one.
Well, now it's called Freeform. Don't they do like
ABC Family?
Yeah, don't they do like 20 Days of Christmas?
They used to. I don't know if they still do it. Like 25 Days of Christmas, they do like a Christmas movie every day. Hopefully they do, because I want to watch Home Alone now. Fuck, yeah, that was
Home
a good
Alone
movie.
1, Home Alone 2, Home Elf. 2. Those are the three that stick out. Well, I like Christmas Story, but, like, everyone loves Christmas Story. Like, everyone enjoys it. But, like, Elf sticks out a lot, and Home Alone sticks out a lot. So, I mean, other than those four, both Home Alones, Elf, and a Christmas Story.
Shane Black wrote Iron Man 3, so that's technically a Christmas story.
Well, Bad Santa's a Christmas story.
Which one?
Bad Santa.
Oh, yeah.
And that's probably, that would be top five comedy and top five Christmas movie for me. Because it's in top five of my comedies.
Is The Nice Guys during Christmas?
Yeah.
I think it is during the Christmas, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. I want to say yes.
Yeah, because Shane Black fucking loves Christmas for some reason.
Bastard.
Yeah, that's a good topic. Maybe we'll just explore our favorite Christmas movies, now that even though we already mentioned
even fucking though, yeah. But, yeah, we'll probably talk Rogue One soon.
Yeah, we'll see how that turns out. Did you watch Doctor Strange?
Yeah.
Did you like it?
I enjoyed it.
I enjoyed it a lot. I need to go watch it again on IMAX 3D, though, because I feel like that's where it's gonna really going to shine.
I enjoyed
it. And I saw Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find
How was it?
I enjoyed it. It's
getting mixed. Is it getting mixed?
It started off real high, kind of got a little bit low. I don't know where it's at right now.
From what I hear, like from reading like tweets and like reviews and stuff like that, they said this like, there's a lot going on, but like they said somewhere within it is a good movie. It's just there's a lot.
There's definitely a lot going on. I think it parallels the first Harry Potter, where it's like it's okay. It's like it's good. It's fine. Because it's not a straight adaptation of any book. It, they can do more with it. The first Harry Potter is not something I consider like a great movie. I'm just okay, I'm watching. It's a bunch of kids running around. Fantastic Beasts does the same thing. It lays out this really cool world, a really cool like world and time we haven't explored it within like in the wizarding world. So I'm very, very curious to see where it goes from here. And the fact that J.K. Rowling said it's going to basically parallel Second World War, it adds a whole new dimension to it. So, and you already see them mention like the prospects of a wizarding world war. So
that's crazy.
Definitely. There's a twist in it in there that I'm not crazy about. I'll be honest. I'm sure you read about it. I'm not crazy about it. But it did remind me that Colin Farrell's a fucking great actor. I love Colin Farrell.
Colin Farrell's a good man.
He had that small like bump in the road with like Daredevil and stuff. And
he was good in True Detective.
He's fucking awesome.
Poor guy.
Yeah, from what I saw, True Detective, I enjoyed watching him. Yeah, yeah. Anyway, so yeah, so that's our show for this month, this week. You can catch us at Twitter
podcast OTS
at podcast OTS. Gmail is going to be
on the screens podcast@gmail.com.
And my personal Twitter is 1-1 ONEDASHONE. And then you can see me.
We have an Instagram now.
We have an Instagram too. It's going to be on.the.screens.podcast. And we'll be posting stuff on there, probably things that we see around. And
we posted just the most random shit ever.
Is it linked to the episodes? Not in any way. No, of course not. There that we think is funny or interesting. Anyway, this is Jose.
This is Carlo.
All right, and have a good night.
See ya.